God is so good. Our scripture today comes from Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use this liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but do love, serve one another. Lord, help us be hearers and doers of your word. Amen.
Jesus is my captain and fights my battle still. He has never lost a battle, and I know he never will. I've got the word for my sword and faith for my shield. I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. When I die, let me die in the service of the Lord. When I die, let me die in the service of the Lord. When I die, let me die in the service of the Lord. I keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give.
Amen. Amen. Psalm 86, bow down your ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am holy. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I cry to you all day long. Rejoice the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. Amen. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. I'm grateful that we have endured that extra hour and got up a little earlier to come to worship God once again on this wonderful day that he has made. And whether you're a member of this Franklin family or a visitor or a virtual guest, I'm grateful that you are here today. I really am. And grateful that God has brought us all together in this life for yet another opportunity for worship, praise, and fellowship among those of us who be the saints of God. And the scriptures this morning that we're going to be reading won't be on the board this morning, but I want you to open your Bibles to John chapter 13. And I know you got your Bibles, that's just who we are. Open your Bibles to John chapter 13, we're going to park right there. We're going to look at some scriptures in John chapter 13 this morning in your hearing, hopefully it'll help you to understand the context of today's lesson, towel service, towel service. You know, there's a song that we sing in the church. It's called, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? It's a question that we have to ask ourselves sometimes, because it seems at certain times that we're just not washed at all in the blood of the Lamb, or we've been washed and now we found ourselves dirty and may need a little washing again. In John chapter 13, I want to read in your hearing initially verses 1 through 11. The Bible says that it was just before the Passover festival, John 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus says, you do not realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon said, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, Your whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not every one of you was clean. You know, Jesus had just washed his apostles' feet, and we've heard this bit of scripture over and over again in our lives as Christians. The washing of the apostles' feet, and what does it mean? What difference does it make? Well, he washes the apostles' feet and reveals himself as the God who serves, not only the God who serves, but the God who cleanses us as well. The Bible says that he loves us, and he loves us till the very end. And he loves us, and he came to serve us that he might give his life for the world, so the world could be saved from their sins. There are a lot of messages from verses 1 through 11 in chapter 13. And Jesus finishes washing the feet of the disciples. He puts back on his outer garments. And the Bible says he resumes his place. And that's this important question that all of us need to be attuned to. Do you understand, he says, what I have just done for you? Do you understand that? The question goes beyond mere foot washing. Because the washing of feet is not the issue at all in this text. Because if foot washing was the issue, then the question would be absurd at best. It would be meaningless. The disciples know what Jesus just did. And we who have been reading this lesson all of our Christian lives, we know what Jesus has just did. He's reaching for a far greater meaning than what is found in just washing of feet. What Jesus has shown is humble service. What Jesus did in this foot washing scene represented what Jesus did for the world. For the Bible says he took off his outer garments. That is, he left the spiritual glory of heaven. He tied a towel around his waist. He came to earth and took the form of a human being. He washed his disciples' feet, dying for the sins of his people. He put back on his outer garments and he returned to his place, raising from the dead and ascending to the Father and being crowned once again with glory and honor that only the Father can bestow upon him. Humble service. Not just humble service, extraordinary humility shown in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. And when you have that extraordinary humility in your life, it's a complete disregard for who you are. It's a complete disregard for the power that you think you have. It's a complete disregard when you have the humility that Christ had as he washed those feet. You have disregard for your position or what you might even deserve from this life. Don't miss this picture. Don't be caught by the physical act of feet washing alone, because the physical act of foot washing represents so much more. And then we deal with those who don't want their feet washed at all. Some people don't wash their feet. You know that. Let's just get that out right now. Some folks, take off your shoes. Let me what? What? That's not going to happen. John chapter 13, verses 13 through 17. The Bible says these words. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Now that I, your Lord, have washed your feet, listen to what he's saying now. You ought to wash somebody else's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Lord, you know I don't mind carrying your cross, but I ain't washing no feet. I've set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. For truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Verse 17 says, now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Blessings are going to come if you do them, because you know this now. Jesus is going to teach the disciples what it is about amazing love that comes from the act of serving one another. He says, this is an amazing act of love. You call me teacher, but you're right, that's who I am. And you call me Lord, and you say you love me, but why don't you do the things that I ask you to do? Lord, I pray to you all the time, Lord. I do that. I give. But Lord, I just can't see myself washing nobody else's feet. Jesus looks at his disciples, and he doesn't deny who he is. Because he is the Lord, he's the master. And then he says there are great consequences to what I've just done for you. The point Jesus makes in verses 14 and 15 is there are great consequences for that. Because if the Lord has washed the disciples' feet, then at minimum, the disciples of Jesus ought to wash each other's feet. We're going to be able to do that. Get the towel out and let's get to washing. Let's get the basin and the water out and let's get to washing each other's feet. Jesus left an example of what he has done. And what the disciples are supposed to see is that it's not merely the washing of feet. They look and they see the radical humility of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who gave himself for us. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine a king sitting amongst us and calling all of the servants one at a time? He's got his towel and he's got a basin and he washes every last one of our feet. A king, royalty. Think about that, literally. He washes our feet. Think about it. God doesn't have any need for humility. He doesn't have any need to wash our feet, because God is in all and above all, he's in you all. Think about it. Colossians 1:16-18 says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he's before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, which is the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything our Lord Jesus Christ might have preeminence. Humility. That's what this is about. It's about the great humility of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who didn't have to show humility at all because he is everything to us. But he does. Christ stoops down and he shows humility. He takes the lower role. And when you talk about godly love is all about sacrificing yourself. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ means that we have the mind of humility and we practice that humility. We have the mind of humility and we practice that. Nobody don't have to tell you that you feel with humility. They're going to see that by the things that you do. They're going to see that by the way you live, by the way you speak. If you ever get to the point where you got to tell somebody you're humble, you're not humble at all. As a matter of fact, you're just so full of pride, you can't even stand it. Being a disciple of Jesus means that we have the mind of humility and we practice humility. We practice that self-giving treatment that Jesus is displaying, and we practice it to others, and we practice it without regard for shame. We practice humility and we're not ashamed of it. We practice humility not because of status. We practice humility not because of a code of honor so people can look at us and say who we are because of what we've done. We don't do it for recognition. We do it for service. Service. Everybody else is lesser than God. And God stoops down from heaven and he washes our feet. And we are not disciples of God unless we show and practice the same humility. We've got to be able to stoop down for one another and do those things that are needful and necessary for one another. Doesn't matter what it is. We've got to be able to do it in humility and in love. We're saying that if we don't do it, what we're saying is that we're greater than Jesus. When we refuse to give ourselves and to serve, we saying that we are greater than Jesus. So the question becomes this. Listen to me real good, because all of us are guilty of this sin. Who are we willing? Nah. Who are we unwilling to serve? Who's not deserving of your towel and your basin? Whose feet will you not wash? We know who it is. We know full well who we will not humble ourselves to. And why won't we do that? If we call ourselves disciples of Christ, we've got to stoop down low, no matter who they are or what they've done. We've got to do it. Who are we unwilling to serve? Who do we think is beneath us? Who are we looking down on? Humility and people that think themselves to be humble as Christ, we give ourselves up, listen, for one another. We give ourselves up to all people because we are not greater than our God. That's what God did. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? Practice humility means that we overlooked offenses that were committed against us. Listen to me good now. Practice humility means that when they hit, we don't hit back. And when they hit, we stoop down and we wash their feet. Practice humility means when they cuss, we don't cuss back. Practice humility means that when they lie, we stoop down and we wash each other's feet. If we desire reconciliation with each other, it means that we have to have a heart of forgiveness and not a heart of bitterness. It means that we look for the opportunity to give ourselves an humble service one to another. It means that we don't take account of what we deserve or if something is beneath our time or our action. You're not worthy for me to do that. You're not worth my time. Anybody ever told you that? Humility means that we swallow our pride. Humility means that we destroy our pride, for pride blocks humble service. It's going to block it. And pride is also going to block godly thinking. It's going to block righteous thinking when it comes to God. Who is unworthy? Who is unworthy of your service? Who's unworthy of your towel service? Jesus said in verse number 17, you know all these things. You already know that. It's like when your child does something and you just get so angry and you look at him and say, why did you do that? You know better than that. You know all of that. So why won't you wash my feet? Why can't I wash your feet? Why won't you let me do it? You know these things. And Jesus compels us because we know, and because we are compelled, we give, and then we give some more. And when we think we can't give any more, we give again. We give ourselves. And we give ourselves as Jesus did, completely and wholeheartedly. Didn't have to do it because we were the undeserving. We were undeserving, and Jesus gave to the undeserving, and we give to the undeserving as well. Who's not deserving of that? Who's not deserving of service from a Christian? This is what God wants to see. He wants to see it in all of us, all of us. John 13, verses 18 through 20. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I've chosen. But this is to fulfill the passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me. And whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Jesus makes a point right here. He makes a point that I know because I am God that there is a betrayer among me. Listen, if somebody comes into your house and they're sitting at your table and you find out that they've done something against you, what you gonna do? They got to get up and go. Bread, and if you serve them their food already, you're going to take their plate away. You're going to show them the door. And we haven't suffered any pain at all. We just heard that they're planning on, we haven't suffered not a bit of pain, no injury at all, none of that. Jesus said, there's a betrayer among me. And the point that he makes is that he knows who he has chosen. And of those who he has chosen, one of them is a betrayer. So he quotes Psalm 41:9 to show that this is a painful betrayal. Listen to what Jesus did, something that we will not even think about doing. Jesus humbly served the betrayer, knowing that he was a betrayer. There are no loopholes here. There are no excuses for us not to render acts of humble service, because Jesus didn't send him out the room. He didn't take his plate away. He stooped down in the face of the betrayer, looked him in the eyes, knew he was going to betray him, and he washed. Think about it. That gives me the chills. How many people you can look in the eye knowing full well that they've done you wrong and they'll do it again, and you still serving them? You know what the world calls that? The world says that you're a fool for dealing with that. That's what they call you. You know he's hurting you. You know he's talking about you. You're a fool for going through that. Jesus stooped down to the guy that was going to betray him to death. He says, I got my towel out for you too, Judas. And I'm going to wash your feet. And you have an opportunity to not do the things that you're going to do. But the Bible says that he was already filled with the devil. You ever wash the foot of a devil? Think about the power of Jesus and the humility of Jesus at this moment in time. His pain was great. He knew the guy was going to betray him. He had been with him his whole ministry. And now this, for 33 pieces of silver. Isn't that incredible? He didn't send him out. I want you to see that. God didn't send him out. He washed his feet. He didn't send him out. God didn't send us out either. We were undeserving. We were the enemies of God. And God reached down from heaven, and he didn't send us out. He washed our feet. No one gets to label people that are undeserving. And no one gets to have the label of undeserving of service. No one is exempt. If we are Christians, if we are followers of Jesus Christ, if Christ lives in us, it's not us who live, but if Christ lives in us, no one is exempt. No one. So you say, Brother Conway, what if they don't have feet? That's not the point here. The point is that we need to wash our hearts, have our hearts pure and clean when it comes to one another. You know what you're going through. You can't know what I'm going through unless I tell you, and then you have the opportunity to wash my feet then. But some of us don't even have towels. We don't have them. We want to serve in other capacities so people can see us. Washing feet, listen to me, ain't the thing that I do. That ain't me. All right. I want to tell you what Jesus did again. He served the one who knew would hurt him. As a Christian, we cannot just serve the people that we like. We don't give ourselves only to people who are nice to us and treat us well, because they're going to betray you too. Amen. Or you think they're nicer, you think they're your friend, don't you turn around. We've got to give ourselves in towel service also to those who hurt us. Love your enemy. Pray for your enemy. We've got to do just like Jesus did. We've got to serve the one who lifts his heel up against us. He didn't just wash feet. I need you to see that. He didn't just wash your feet. He gave his life for you. You are a rebel against God. You are undeserving of any blessing or goodness that God had to offer. But you know what he did? He went to the linen closet and he took the towel out. And I got to believe that wasn't some old rag that he just had. He said, you know what, I'm going to use this old rag on these feet right here. I think that was the best towel that he can find. I don't know what a counter is like sheets. I don't know how to rate towels, but I know that was one. Look, some people don't feel like some people's feet are deserving of the best towel that you have, right? That's not what this is about. You get the best towel that you have out and you wash somebody else's feet because God gave the best that he had in Christ Jesus to come and wash us clean. He didn't just pick on anybody and say, you know what? I want you to go ahead and do it. No, he sent his son. And he sent him for me, a miserable wretch who was an enemy against God. And he reached down and he sent his son that he might die for my sins. Were you then or are you now? Because, you know, too many people feel entitled. Are you greater than Jesus? If you're greater than Jesus and you don't have to wash feet at all, you're going to be all right. Be all right. But I don't want you to waver from your mission in glorifying God through humble service. Don't run away from the mission when somebody hurts you or betrays you. It's even more the reason to get it out. Get it out. The Bible says you're going to heap hot coals on their heads. Even when another hurts us, when they harm us, when they talk about us, when they, what we say, cut their eyes at us. We don't have the right to stop doing what Jesus did by giving ourselves and doing what is in that person's, listen to me, in their best interest. You know the best way to get rid of an enemy is to make him your friend. Think about what God did. We became a friend to Jesus. Friend of Jesus. You know, growing up in school, you know, people used to play the dozen all the time. It did, right? And you couldn't talk about my mama. You couldn't do that. You couldn't talk about my dad, even though he wasn't even, you know, around as much, but he still was my dad and loved him, right? Situations were different when I grew up. But Jesus came down here, and they talked about his father like he never done nothing for him. And Jesus still stooped down. He didn't play the dozen with him. He washed their feet, man. He did it. He did it. He didn't waver from, even though he knew they were going to hurt him, he didn't waver. And we don't have the right to stop doing what Jesus did by giving ourselves and doing what is in the person's best interest. Let me tell you what Jesus did. Let me tell you what Jesus knew what he was doing when he was washing Judas's feet. He knew what he was doing. And it was difficult. It had to be difficult. And we've got to don, the more difficult it becomes, we've got to don the towel and get to the task of washing somebody's feet. To serve Jesus in that way means that we take the way of the cross. And the way of the cross is the way of humility. There is no room for pride. Can you hear me? There's no room for any of this. I'm better than you. Are you better than me? I'm looking down my nose. There's nothing. No. No. Because you can't look down your nose and wash my feet. No room for pride. There's no room for thinking about ourselves. We got to cut down the opportunity to think about ourselves and enjoy the thought and act of doing good for somebody else. Doesn't make you feel good when you do something for somebody? Doesn't make you feel good? It does. Look what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 5:9-10. He says, no widow may be put on a list of widows unless she's over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up her children, showing hospitality, and watch this, and washing the feet of the Lord's people, helping those in trouble and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. She doesn't qualify. He didn't take that out. You've got to wash the feet of the Lord's Don't make me take my shoes off up here. That's what's expected. It's what's expected of Christians. And that's what Paul wrote to Timothy about those widows who could be cared for by the church. One of the characteristics was that the widow washed the feet of the disciples, that they were humble in all that they did, humble in their lives. And God expects humility from each and every one of us if we are going to follow him. The problem is that we don't remember who we are. We don't remember. A term that we use all the time, but we sometimes forget the meaning, is found in John 13 and 16. It's called a servant. We are servants of Christ. It means that we serve. That's what it means. The definition of a servant means that we do just that, that we serve. Life is not about us. Relationships are not about us. There are too many people in relationships, and all they want to do is about me, 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 me. They're selfish as could be, but they want to be in relationship with that person, but it's got to be about them. What is that? If it was all about God and God didn't involve us at all, he didn't love us, can you imagine that? Relationships are not about us. Our actions should not be about us. We do not act for our own well-being, but we act on behalf of Jesus and the good that we can do for other people. So we become a servant. And we humbly serve one another, we yield to one another, we give to one another. And this is what it means to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. This is what it means to love one another deeply from a pure heart. Love one another deeply. Here goes Peter. He says, Lord, you're not washing my feet. Verse number 7. He said, you're not doing that. Jesus says, listen, I'm going to show you how to serve, Peter. He says, what I'm doing for you, you don't understand it now, but afterward you will understand it. Jesus is doing something that's important in the lives of his disciples. He's doing something that's greater than simply washing feet. And Peter's disciples don't understand it at the time. But right now, they're going to understand the meaning of what he's doing. He's going to explain it to them. Peter continues, God, you're not washing my feet, in verse 8. You know what Jesus said? He says, if I don't wash you, you have no share with me at all, none. It's not just about washing feet, Peter. Jesus said, look, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, then you don't have any participation or fellowship with me and with my God. You don't have any fellowship at all. If Jesus doesn't wash your feet, you have no part with him. So Peter gets excited, and what does he say then? He said, get that water out and pour it all over me. I want you to wash everything I got, not just my feet. Wash my whole body, Peter said. Wash me, Lord. And Jesus says in verse number 10, the one who has bathed doesn't need a wash except for his feet, because he's completely clean. And you are clean, but not everyone of you is clean, because he says there's a betrayer among us. There's a betrayer among us. Once a person took a bath, the only part of their body in that time that needed to be clean is with their feet, because it would get dirty while they were walking through town. You were clean, but your feet were dirty and they needed to be clean. The picture that Jesus is using is he applies this to our spiritual lives. He's not making an observation about baths, but he's talking about the cleansing that Jesus gives for our lives. He's not speaking about washing the outer body, but he's speaking of the inner man, cleansing the inner man. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the word, washing of the water with the word. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with clean water from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Psalm 51:2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Titus 3:4, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us. Not because of the works that we've done by righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out to us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. If he doesn't wash you, you have no share with him. The only way that we can have fellowship with God the Father, with Jesus Christ, is to be washed by Jesus Christ. The only way to be in a relationship with God is to be cleansed by Christ. And it's clear that Peter didn't understand that. But we have to, he says, you know this, we understand this now. He didn't understand, that's why he wanted his whole body to be exposed. I could see him starting to take off all his clothes. That's who Peter was. Already had his shoes off. He said, look, let's get it then. Let's get it. Jesus said, the one who bathes, don't need to wash his feet. I mean, don't need to bathe his whole body. Just need to wash his feet because he's completely clean. But one of the disciples is not clean. That those of us who've been baptized into Christ. And what Jesus is saying is that some of you are really not, you're not clean. You're not. And you know who you are. Some of us in the church are betrayers of God. Judas was with Jesus. He was personally with Jesus for his whole ministry, yet he was a betrayer. He was not clean. Not all of you are truly my disciples. Now, a lot of you have experienced this cleansing that Christ offers. All of us will say right now that we're going to give our lives for Christ. All of us. But Judas didn't. He said it, but he wasn't willing to do it. The washing of feet by Jesus symbolizes the atoning death on the cross. He laid aside his garments. He took the form of a servant, and he served his creation by giving his life on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He's come to serve us through the atonement for sins. It's about spiritual cleansing. That's what this is all about. And it's to those who will give their lives to Jesus and who are going to follow him. And if you're Judas, you're not one of those people. You are a betrayer. The scriptures tie baptism and washing feet to washing of sins and fellowship with Christ. Acts 22:16, rise and be baptized. What you waiting on? Rise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of God. We are therefore buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For we've been united with him in death, like his, then we shall certainly be united with him in the resurrection as well. Baptism is not, I want you to be clear about this, baptism is not some kind of religious ceremony. It's not a sacrament. Because without faith, baptism is useless. And it doesn't lead to full surrender from God. Sometimes you just got to take that towel and you got to throw it in, right? Because we fight too much with each other and with the world. We've got to take the towel and throw it in so we can have complete surrender from God. But some people are throwing the towel in on their spiritual lives. Become baptized into Christ. Become cleansed. Their hearts have been cleansed by sprinkled with the pure water from God. And they throw in the towel. They walk away from Christ. Anyone who rejects God's teachings rejects God. John said that. We don't get to choose what we will or won't obey. And a lot of us will not wash each other's feet. It's just not in our DNA to do that. We don't want to do it. We don't even think about it. Amen. But our faith is revealed when we submit to God. Our faith is revealed when we submit to God in baptism because we are assuring that we will do anything that Jesus said. Anything. Including the washing of feet. But we say, I will do anything and everything for you, Lord. I'm willing to die for you, but I'm not going to wash anybody's feet. Just not going to do it. When we come to Christ and have our sins washed away through the blood of Christ and the grace of God, we become completely cleansed. But then we go out into the world and we start walking again with the world. And we pick up defilements along the way. We're going to sin because that's who we are. We're going to fall short of the glory of God because that's who we are. We're going to fail to be pleasing to God because we're walking out there in the world. Our feet are getting dirty. So there's still a daily need for cleansing from the defilement that comes from just living. From just living, we get defiled. But you don't have to return to the moment of salvation and restart the process all over again. You don't have to do that. Just walk in the light as he's in the light, and we have fellowship with Christ and with God. This is what it said. And the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all of our sins. Our feet get dirty, but we don't need to continually come back to Christ for cleansing that he offers. John says, listen, if you walk in the light with Christ, your feet are going to continue to be clean because you repent of your sins and you're following God. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, listen, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we say that we have not sinned, if we say we wasn't the one walking in the world and having our feet dirty, he says, you're a liar. And his word is not in you, not in you. For we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God is faithful to forgive us our sins. But we can't be like Judas. We can't live our lives as a betrayer. We've got to be forgiven by God. And when we fail, God welcomes us back to him because the blood of Christ will continue to cleanse us from our sins. Peter had to let Jesus wash his feet. He had to let Jesus wash his feet because that's the part that he needed cleansing. We've got to let God wash our feet. We've got to let God cleanse our hearts because that's the part that needs cleansing. I'm not worrying about this body, this physical body. It's the inner man that needs cleansing. We know that there's darkness inside of all of us. But we need to keep coming back to Jesus. We need to keep confessing our sins. We need to remain in fellowship with him and have our sins forgiven. Submit to God for cleansing. Submit to God for cleansing. It's only atoning sacrifice of God that's going to save our lives. Allow God to wash your feet. We've got to do that. We've got to submit our lives in faith to Jesus Christ in the immersion of watery baptism. It's the appeal for a clean conscience. It's a heart that's submitting to God in faith. None of us are going to live perfectly. None of us at all. Our feet are going to become unclean. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and let him wash you. Let him wash those sins right out of your life. Because once God saves you, confession is what's needed. And we'll find full cleansing from God all over again. Listen, we serve a great God. And there are too many of us that walk around here like our feet are not dirty, like our hearts are not heavy, like we don't have any darkness inside of us. We proclaim just like Peter, Lord, you don't even need to think about washing my feet because I got that. I just went to the pedicurist just yesterday. I got that. Look at these feet here. But Jesus, he pedicures and manicures our hearts, doesn't he? It's about the inner man, not just these old physical feet. Every man has a conscience. Every man has a heart that's going to stand before God and give an account. Will that heart be clean by the blood of Jesus Christ? Will it be washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's about service. It's about giving loving service to one another as God gave service to us. It's when we stoop down and do those things that God has called us to do, because not too many people want to stoop to a level that they call whatever that is. And some folks stoop to a level that's not even right, those evil levels in your life. You know who you are. You know what you've done. God can cleanse you up. He can clean you. But you got to walk with him. and have your soul cleansed daily. Have your sins washed away daily as you walk in fellowship with God. And the question still becomes, I want to leave you with this. Whose feet are you unwilling to wash? You got to reconcile with that. Because God was willing to wash your feet, you too should wash the feet of someone else. If there are those in the audience today who need to be cleansed by the blood of Christ, to be immersed and washed in the water grave of baptism, God calls all of us to humility and not pride. Because only pride will keep you in your seats. Only Satan will whisper in your ear and tell you, you know what? You don't need to be baptized into Christ. You can just keep these dirty feet. You're doing fine with these feet. You're walking on them. But we're not walking with Christ. We need to walk with Christ. We understand the gospel. We understand the truth of the gospel. There are too many people out there that are leading us in the false way, and we know that too. Had a lady just the other day in the Walmart line, the cashier trying to quote to me about Daniel and about the end of the world. And she said, have you ever heard what this guy said about it? I said, well, when did he get a new revelation? Because the last time I heard, the Bible, God's word does not change at all. This man doesn't have a new revelation. He doesn't have the answer. Well, you know the world's going to end. I said, well, and the Bible said that God says, no one knows. Jesus says, no one knows, not even me. Only the Father knows. I said, so how are you going to deal with that? And I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't know when your life is going to end either. Only the Father knows. So it's time for you, it's high time to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Will you come today as you stand and sing God's invitation song?
Do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the lie. Poor sinner, harden not the heart. Be saved, oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved?